Hello and welcome to the podcast. It's Dave O'Neill here, comedian, and I'm sitting in my backyard. I normally do this from my car, but of course I'm a Melbourneian, so there's no gigs at the moment. So I've taken to ringing comedians to check out how they're going in these times, these testing times. So I apologise if we can hear some birds. It's actually a beautiful, I'd say a spring day, but it's still winter in Melbourne, but it is a beautiful day here. Even though we're trapped within 5 kilometres of our house, it's still a lovely day. Anyway, enough about the weather. We're here to talk about comedy. I'm going to ring a comedy legend, Sammy J. He possibly lives about 5 kilometres from my house. Not that far, actually. And I haven't seen Sammy for a while, but it's always good to talk to him. And he's had a very interesting career, Sammy J. Let's give him a call.
Hey, man.
Going for a drive, do a little gig, then drive back with the chat. It's called the debrief. It's called the debrief. It's called the debrief. It's called the debrief. It's called the debrief.
Sammy J, how are you?
Good, Dave. How are you?
No, I'm good. I'm just sitting in the backyard calling you, so...
Yep, I'm hiding in the study.
You're hiding in the study. Because we tried to connect yesterday, but you've got little kids, so... It was close to the cactus hour, wasn't it?
Yeah. You know, but 4-year-old, it's a 24-hour potential for cactus hour, so...
I remember the... I mean, my kids are older now, but I remember the bed, bath... Reading a book okay for 3 or 4 hours sometimes.
Yeah, and it's the same book.
Yes. what are your kids into at the moment? What books?
Our 8-year-old I was just about to ask. Are we all already into it?
Sorry, we're into it. We're taping. I always do this. I should warn you.
Because obviously now I know we're taping. I'm going to make it sound like it's actually just the classics, Dickens, you know, got them on a steady diet of Shakespeare,
yep.
Oscar Wilde, just really going through the classics. Then we'll make our way to Greek philosophy. Oh, but but that's all a complete lie, of course, and it's more your bog standard Peppa Pig compendiums.
Peppa Pig.
Yeah.
Peppa Pig. Who was I talking the other day about? Peppa Pig and, oh, no, Hamish Blake, who's got kids similar to your age, and you...
Yeah.
He just loves it when other animals, like when they went to the zoo one time, and he's like, how's this going to work when one of Peppa's best friends is a zebra? So,
yeah, there's a whole lot of harmony that goes on in the Peppa world that, yeah, it's not going to, it's one of the many brutal learnings
Yes.
kids will have as they grow up.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, my kids used to love Richard Scarry, you know, Richard Scarry with Huckle the cat. And
oh, yeah.
You probably remember because it was probably around when you were a kid, because I was big in the 80s, I think.
And that was just before. I had this. I'm in this strange little zone where sometimes people assume I'm slightly older than I am. So there's a large gap there, and then you hit like the Ren and Stimpy era, and it's game on.
You love Ren and Stimpy.
Yeah.
Oh, Ren. I still say, are you unhappy, Ren? Yeah, I love Ren and Stimpy. But how old are you? 32? That kind of age?
No, I'm 37.
37.
But yeah, you look. I like the 32.
You look young. You look young, Sammy. Richard Scarry was Huckle the Cat, and everyone had little jobs. And my son's favourite book was called What Do People Do All Day? And all it was just a page of, okay, here's cats and pigs working on the roads. And then it described what every job did, you know. There was no real story. And then there was an office, and there was, you know. And so he used to say, where's your job, Dad? I'm like, I'm not really. They had a writer in there, I think. There was a guy writing stuff on a pig writing stuff on a typewriter. I said, oh, that'll be me. That can be me if you want.
Well, yeah, when there's like, you know, particularly intricate illustrations, like 4-year-olds end up Where's Wally as well.
Like, yeah.
And she's pretty like devastating. Like she remembers it from 6 months ago. She'll still remember where Wally is, but she'll drag it out on each page because she knows as soon as she's found Wally, I'm going to turn the page and that's a closer to me leaving her. So, you know, yeah. They get you.
It's I'm sitting in the backyard, Sammy, and I can see where I saw you last. The second last time I saw you was in one of my neighbor's backyards where he had Ben Lee playing.
Like one of the best nights of my life, I think.
Yeah.
Because we made it out with both kids.
You did.
Socialize, you know, which is like it's yes. a rare thing.
Because Ben Lee and there's other people that do it, like Mick Thomas from Weddings Parties, and they do these things called parlor gigs, where if you guarantee several thousand dollars and 80 people, that we all had to pay a set fee, didn't we?
Yeah, yeah.
And my neighbour loved Ben Lee, and so Ben Lee just turns up, no PA system or any. I was jealous as a performer, no PA system. He just sat on a chair with his guitar and played his hits. It was great.
It was yeah, and it was so secret. You're like, oh. You know, no one knows about this. Yes. And I only got in, I didn't know the people who were hosting. It was via someone else,
yeah.
knew someone else. So we were sort of late additions, but it was pretty great.
It was good. And also, Ben Lee said to Mook, the guy organising, he had like two others that day. So he's cleaning up. Just go. No PA.
Around. Yeah.
We should.
And it's the opposite of a corporate gig, which is, yes. you know, the crowd don't want you, and you're just yeah. holding them up from making business deals. It's like a whole room full of people who are really mad, keen fans.
Yeah, yeah, it was great, and he played his hits. You know, I mean, I like Ben Lee. I'm not. I love some of those singers. I loved them. That one.
Cigarettes.
Yeah. That's it. I love that riff. Anyway. Good on him. Have you ever done gigs? You would have done gigs. I remember seeing something on Facebook or somewhere where you and Randy turned up to someone's house as a surprise.
Oh, yeah, we did a little. It was someone was turning 18 who was a fan of our comedy stylings, and they yep. emailed us on our website, which, you know, we're not at the level where that was a regular sort of request, but a few things have come through and you sort of respond politely or don't have time to respond. And I think we went, hey, well, let's just do it. Let's just turn up.
But you didn't tell them. We
didn't tell them. We did it, you know, and we filmed it because that'll be a funny little thing. And it was a onesie party. So we went and got onesies and,
great.
Like, dressed up as animals and turned up with the fabulous Evan Munro Smith of Stupid Old Studios.
Evan,
so
he
filmed it all and we turned up and we hung out. But the problem was, of course, then we still, like, 5 years later, have people inviting us to their 18th
yes.
birthday. I feel like we won't be able to do it justice.
And was it a case of one or two people were really into it and the rest of the people were like, what? What's going on? Was there a bit of that?
Of course. But yeah. I think we knew that would be, I sort of thrive on that stuff. It's more fun when it's awkward. I will say, though, you've just reminded me of another house gig. This goes all the way back to like the earliest possible days of my fledgling career. So it's like 2003.
Yeah.
Someone had contacted, you know, when you start out and you jump at any opportunity.
Oh, yeah. I mean, your dad said, I remember my mum said, oh, I've got a gig at Nana's church.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, I'll be there. And it was bloody terrible.
How'd it go? Like, oh. Well, this is it. I turned up, someone was said they were doing a pilot TV show, which is like, oh my gosh, okay, amazing.
Oh, wow.
And they were filming at their like little audition tapes at their house. It's like East St Kilda. I turned up and set up a keyboard in a living room, and it was a man and a woman who had no credentials, as I recall.
Yeah.
Filmed me, and I never heard from them again. Yeah. I swear, and that tape still exists, and I have no idea what it was for or whether it was legit.
Well, it's sort of like, yeah, they didn't say take your top off or anything like that. It wasn't weird.
Yeah, no, it wasn't. It didn't get to that extent, but no. It was still like, yeah, it's the things you do.
It is bizarre. I'm trying to think of where we first met, Sammy, because that's what I do on this podcast. I just reminisce. We must have met, because I knew of you because I know your sister, Sarah.
Yeah,
who's friends with my sister-in-law, Sharon. And so I would see Sarah at Sharon's parties and stuff, and she said that, oh, my brother Sammy's getting into comedy. I'm like, oh, yeah, yep. You hear this all the time. And then we did Let Loose Live together.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. Yeah, but before Let Loose Live, because that was like, 2 years after I started on the scene, and you were... You know, as probably everyone tells you on this podcast, Dave, but you were like the nicest, most supportive guy to me. When
oh, that's good.
You know, when most people are not to any new comedian.
No.
So I remember I was thrilled when Let This Life happened that you were attached to as well.
Yeah, because, I mean, for people who don't remember it, and it's probably 95% of the... I'd say 99%. It was a very short-lived Sunday night show on Channel 7. It was meant to be Australia's answer to Saturday Night Live. And there was kind of three categories of comics. There were the really famous kind of like, there was Michael Veitch, Peter Moon, and those guys.
And Mark Downey.
So all the fast forward kind of people. Then there was me. The next tier down was me, Jane Hall.
Colin Lane.
Colin Lane, of course.
Yep.
Paul Kaligia. And then there was, and then below us, there were your young comics. You,
Kate McLennan.
Yeah. Yep. And
we were the new kids.
Yeah. And it lasted... two episodes.
2 weeks. Guy Sebastian was going to film the third episode. Yes. And it was turned around at the airport when they were told it was Axe.
But we, because that's interesting, entering into a writer's room. Because I remember writing sketches with you.
Yeah.
Because it is such a weird dynamic. Because you've got some old grizzled writers in there.
Yeah.
And then there's young, enthusiastic people like yourself. I still remember the sketch we wrote. We wrote a sketch where I was a courier delivering flowers to your 21st.
Oh, man.
And no one had turned up to your 21st, so you made me like a special guest. Remember that?
We never filmed it, did we? We never.
No.
But I still have the script somewhere. That was the weirdest. Like, I feel like every showbiz lesson for me was compacted into that experience. Like, it was the best.
Yeah.
It was the best and most brutal way to start, because I thought it was going to make me. I thought it was my big break and all that. And,
oh, don't worry. Same here.
Yeah.
I mean, I had a few experiences like that. And the internet wasn't really. It wasn't like it is now. There was no, I don't think it was any Facebook or Twitter, but people were still on the internet, and I think they loved you. Because you did a nerd character, didn't you?
I did like one little nerd character, which, I don't know, I just think, you know, it wasn't that great at all, but at least I was writing it myself, so it was in my voice. And as you just sort of alluded to, it was, for me as the new kid, I was really shocked. And this happens it's happened on lots of other shows as well, but you have writers in one room and the cast in another room, and it's actually quite rare that they all meet up, talk.
Yeah,
you know?
That's
tricky.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the best shows are where the cast can do a lot of writing, actually, as we know. Mm. But, that's funny to think back to those days. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
But we all thought it was going to make us, but it didn't. Because the pilot was really good. Remember, the pilot was great. We did a pilot, too.
Yeah. And a lot of it, but the thing, you know, it was live sketch on TV, live to air, was a bold thing, and it was sold as being, you know, anything could happen. But I remember thinking, you know, actually, I felt as a new kid that if I didn't read my auto cue properly, I'd be in a lot of trouble. So
yes.
But you know, it's still you don't want to it was all great cast, great producers, and so on. You know, trying something new. It's just, I think, from my memory, it was a network big problem. That they came in and said, you have to do a parody of Lost because Lost is on Channel 7. So everyone's there doing a big parody of the show Lost, even though that wasn't...
That's right.
You know, what people wanted to do, you know, but those creative decisions that come down from on high.
Did we end up doing the Lost parody?
Yeah, there was a massive, you know, the budget. I think there was half a plane.
Who did you play?
Fuselage. No, I think I wasn't in that one.
Yeah, I don't know if I was in it either. I'm sure I would have played Hurley, the fat guy. Surely.
I just assumed you had played Hurley, but maybe I was being
I don't worry about being fattest towards me. I'm fine with that. And I did O'Neill. Someone told me they saw it on YouTube, O'Neill's O'Nightly O'News, where I read the news.
That's right. Oh, and there was some great, and you know, and Mark Downey was doing some awesome stuff. And,
it was funny.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
I remember one, this is like a really specific moment that I remember, where, because you played security guard at one point.
I played security guard, yes.
And I was on a keyboard, and you wanted to, I don't think you did anything, you wanted to come past at one point, I'm singing a little song, and then pull the plug out.
Yeah, that's
from
classic.
My keyboard.
Classic move.
Classic move. But for me, it was one of those early, which speaks to probably the entire, I don't know, weird paradox of whatever I've done for the last 15 years, but... Status-wise, it didn't work for me, even though I looked like a piece of shit playing keyboard.
Yeah, yeah, right.
I still needed to be in control, and so, and even though I was purposely doing a bit of a lame song, so I remember fighting back against that.
Yeah, and, right.
Yeah, it's those weird decisions, because I was aware, to an extent, how lame and pathetic I was and am, particularly in the early days of standing up singing songs on keyboard, but there was still a weird power that I needed to have in that space.
Yeah, 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 fair enough.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah, no, that's fair enough. That's absolutely. I can't even remember that. I remember playing a security guard, but that's about the extent of my memory. So of course, then you did, I'm trying to think of your career, you just did a lot of live stand-up and you hooked up with Randy.
Yeah, I met Randy in that same year, about 6 months after Let Loose Live. And then we were started doing late-night shows at the Butterfly Club and...
That's right.
He, you know, Randy bought the cool that I completely lacked, you know, which was awesome. So we were both balanced each other out.
And you did a TV show. You had many great live shows. I remember you did the pub that I do comedy at, and people thought that you ran the puppet. So that's I couldn't believe when some guy said to me, it's amazing how he does that puppet. I'm like, no, it's another guy. People say that all the time, do they?
People had, people have watched a whole show of ours and then asked me how I do the voices. And I'm like,
I love it.
But I think mainly it's that thing where if people who, you know, followed comedy or anything, if you see a guy's face next to a puppet, I accept that you would assume they're probably ventriloquists. Yes. So I think it's more just the general vibe.
Yes, yes, yes.
But Heath MacIver is, you know, the genius behind Randy, and so on. Can take no credit for that.
He's a game changer with that puppet. It's incredible what he does with it, with that. I've had Randy on this podcast before. Not Heath Randy. Okay, had the puppet.
It's hard to get Heath.
And don't call him a puppet. He's a real thing, Randy.
Yes.
And now I was texting you the other day because you weren't on ABC Radio, because for people that don't know that, because you know, we're people in France listening, you do Melbourne ABC Breakfast, which is a big job, and a lot of people remember Red Simons did it for a long time, and then Jacinta and Sammy, and then you came in as the next Sammy. And how's that going? Because I read your schedule somewhere, you get up very early.
Yeah, well, I mean, I was delighted when you said that, like, when you said you were listening and I wasn't in yesterday, so there was a fill-in. I was like, oh, shit, Dave's listening. I forget that people actually listen to the station.
Yeah.
Because it's been a massive year and I didn't expect it. Radio was not on my radar. You know, it was something I thought maybe in like 10 years I might have a crack at or something.
It's a perfect retirement plan, let's be honest, ABC Radio. Yeah.
But I feel like, yeah, maybe it's a bit early for me to retire or have a plan. So I was really reluctant when it first was even came up. And as it happened, I got very lucky because I happened to start it in 2020 when live work has fallen off the truck. So I feel, you know, that overshadows everything else as far as any challenges of the job go or anything. Like, so the alarm's at 3:30 in the morning. But even that, I don't grumble about because I've got a job. And
oh, you're good. You know, I grumble about it. I mean, I get up once a week at 6 for Do Nova because I fill in there. That's when I was listening to you. That's when I listened to you.
Yeah.
I find getting up at 6.
As you're doing Nova, you listen to ABC.
Oh, no, when I drive in to the...
Oh, yeah.
Oh, when I was doing Nova back in the day, I used to ring up Trevor Chappell's show all the time and get on air. He does overnights. He's fantastic.
Yeah, he still is. Yeah, because I see him as I walk in. Yes. He's doing his show.
Oh, he's great. Him and Pav. Is Pav still producing?
Yeah, Pav's still there.
Legends. Legends of ABC. But how's the thing about the ABC, which always shocks people, is they have a text messaging service, right? And you can hear the announcers read it all the time. They don't have that at Nova and Triple M. They don't have it because I've never seen so much vitriol as when I filled in on the ABC of like, so you'll get on. Like, I remember filled in there when Red left. And so I just get on it. You know, you start at 5:30, don't you? 5:30?
Yeah, yeah.
So you go on and you go, hello, welcome to ABC Melbourne, and my name's Dave O'Neill, and first text message, get fucked, and who's fuck this? Off, where's Red?
Oh, man.
Oh, it's brutal.
And like, I'm not on Twitter or anything, like, because I don't like that sort of stuff.
No.
You know, and so that's why this job was so exposing, like having to have that right in front of me.
And the producer said, look, some people turn it off. Some people turn it away, and then the producer puts up the things. I said, no, I'm a comic. I'm used to it. But bloody hell, they were very quick to... Apparently, the only worst place is SEN and the sports stations, the AM sports stations, because it's just all blokes just in utes and stuff just going, get fucked, Gary Lyon or whoever's on. Like, you know, like...
Yeah.
But how's that happening? But I reckon they've been very accepting of you. By what I can tell.
I don't have any comparison, you know, other than my own experience, but I do get the sense that I've been spared the worst of it, and partly because, you know, Sammy and Jacinta, who, you know, they cop so much simply because they're not Red Simons. And anyone who was going to take off after that was going to cop it.
Yes.
So, you know.
You had a buffer, sort of, in a way. They were the buffer. Yeah,
I totally did. And then I also came in really consciously, like if you listen to me back in January, February, I was basically doing what I thought was an impression of an ABC radio presenter.
Yes.
Like I was really, I don't know if warm's the right word, but I was speaking slowly. I wasn't really doing any risque jokes or anything because I was just terrified of that happening, you know. And I think the whole year for me has been slowly getting to be more myself, being a bit cheekier. Yeah.
But in a way, you kind of are, not to compare you to Red or anyone like that, but you are perfect for the ABC in a way because you're funny, but you're also a bit of an intellectual. And I think the ABC listeners love that you're quite smart.
Well, to an extent, but I also think you know, imposter syndrome with any job you do. So when that's another reason that I was terrified of this, is like, fuck, I'm not smart enough to do that. Like, I do my political comedy stuff, but that's all like, you know, research stuff and write a script.
Yes.
You can present it, but this is... My biggest fear was that I'd look stupid and that people would be calling up. And
when they correct you, and man, the ABC audience love correcting you.
Like, but you know what? That thing of the ABC audience. That's the biggest thing I'm fascinated by this year, because I'm like, why does it have to be? And well, is this? I know there's a stereotype of like older, whatever, retiring.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, no, a person in Kew or Brighton, and they've got the ABC on all day. They don't want to listen to AW, or you know, they wouldn't listen to ABC.
But I'm also like, I'm 37, and I listen to it. And I've got mates who listen, and I'm trying, my sort of interesting. I don't know, challenge is to try and smoke them out, like way people who are listening but aren't as vocal. Because I feel like if you listen to the station, you don't feel necessarily that you're as welcome if you're not an older voice.
Yes.
So you don't call up, you know what I mean? Like.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I've walked past building sites and they've had ABC on. So
yeah, yeah.
It is, and you, especially when you go to the country, it has a very big listenership. Even though it doesn't go that the range, but even on the outer fringes of Melbourne, there's a big listenership. They love it. They love the ABC. Yeah.
And that's how I do it with like the text message. If I have now and then, I'll have someone who said, oh, you know, I've been rusted on for 27 years and now I'm not listening anymore. And then two more people say, hey, I've just started listening, you know, I'm really
Excited.
Okay, I'm happy with that hit rate. Plus, it's often the same number, they'll write back a week later and say, I'm not listening anymore. And you're like, but you just said you wouldn't listen a week ago. Like, you've got to have the courage of your convictions.
Richard Stubbs, I used to fill in for Richard Stubbs, and a guy used to text in, I outlasted the other bloke and I'll outlast you. That's what. And so some of them sit there listening and hating, but they still listen. They won't refuse to listen to commercial radio. It's such a weird phenomenon. But it would be similar in England with the BBC, and it's the same all around Australia, I reckon. With the
I guess so, and that's what I think. I just be like, okay, well, that's part of the job. You accept it.
Yeah.
And you do have to go back to your basics. It sort of sounds really sort of almost sappy, but, you know, you got to do your best and you know, not be lazy about it. And I think, okay, if I've done a show that I think I would have enjoyed listening to, then
It's radio. The good thing about radio that it's not rewound and listened to constantly, like a TV show. It's not constantly. Well, it is criticised by the listeners, but critics aren't watching it and picking it apart. It's radio. It's out there.
Do you have to do at commercial radio though? Did you always have to do air checks where they make you listen back? Because I got to that. That's the hardest part.
I did that at the ABC too. Even when I was filling in at the ABC, they made me do it.
Yeah.
But we had some ridiculous conversations. But the thing I liked about the ABC is that they weren't anti-knowledge, they weren't anti-intellectual, which I'm no intellectual, but I like talking about anything, whether it's, and again, I've talked about this before, but in commercial radio, there's a big thing about, you got to appeal to the average guy, mate. What are you talking about? Did you mention classical music this morning? What the fuck are you doing that for? But at least in the ABC, the good thing about, I found that you could talk about anything and people would tend to ring, like if you talk about World War II, people ring up. You know what I mean? People are interested. Yeah.
And I think that's, I probably take that for granted now because I've never done commercial and I don't think I'd survive there. But as you just said, I can do like, I'm doing a word segment about vocabulary and then I'm interviewing someone about the COVID death rate that day and then we switch to like a guest artist. So, you know, it is, I'm very lucky to have this show for now.
Yeah, yeah. Well, look, and the thing that I've noticed is you work very hard on it. There's plenty of people that get those kind of jobs and just sit back and let the producers do everything. You put your own stamp on it. You're doing songs and stuff like that and comedy, and that's good. You're making the most of the opportunity because it'd be very easy, I reckon, just to kick, especially early mornings, and you've got kids. So you're tired, you're busy, but you've really done well, Sammy. Congratulations from
me. Hey, thanks, man. it means a lot.
and also you do those sketches on ABC TV Thursday nights.
Yes, so Thursday nights.
The old Clark and Door. Again, you've slipped into a spot there filled by, you know.
Yeah, it seems to be my thing. Someone called me the boomer whisperer the other day.
That's fantastic. Because were you Gen X or Gen Y?
No, I think I'm on the cusp of both, 1983. So I don't think.
You're Gen Y, I reckon.
I don't think I'm Gen X.
I'm Gen X. Yeah. Even though I get
caught. My sister's Gen X. So.
Yeah, she'd be Gen X, but you're a bit younger. I reckon you're Gen Y. Yeah. Oh, that's funny. Yeah, because boomers do. When you and with the Thursday night sketches, I love the coach. You do the coach characters.
Yeah,
very funny.
You were sounding a bit like coach before when you were doing your commercial radio voice.
Yeah, they kind of do that. Yeah,
just like, and they're just throwing a bit of an indigestion like that, and they do those little sharp breaths.
Yeah.
That's how I do it.
Yeah. Because the coaches are very funny to watch, just AFL or NRL.
Yeah.
And then didn't you do a tour of the characters? Is that right?
Yeah, I did. So this is my third year doing it, and I co-write the show with Chris McDonald and James Pender. So
yeah,
you know, with someone like the coach, like I'm out of my depth completely in footy world, and they're the ones who know what they're talking about.
Yeah,
so,
footy.
But we did a tour, and it was
how was that?
It was amazing because I feel like I don't know if I go back to like high school I was stronger at doing characters and absurd shit than I was at like stand-up or anything, and that was always been the case. But then with Randy, I was able to be a character anyway, so that was sort of fine. But weirdly, through these sketches, I sort of hit my sweet spot, which is actually being on stage, being myself when I want to be, but then going into like a yoga character or a coach character, which is, I think, the best use of my skills. And it was really exciting having, you know, you sort of dream of having some sort of audience out there who know you from the telly or something. Yeah. And people, people came along, and it was great fun. I was going to do it again this year, but obviously not.
And were they not. Were they boomers, being the Boomer Whisperer and being on the ABC?
There was definitely an old, like the crowd skewed older than a normal crowd would, but then the best part was there were also a lot of families coming, you know, like teenagers.
Oh, great.
That was amazing, because in my early years, I was like the worst possible comic for an older person, because I was, you know, really filthy and threw language out there. But equally, I've been a bit too lame for younger people because I'm still a guy singing songs. So I always walked this strange line of cutting audiences loose. And it feels like I'm sort of in this spot now where I don't have to pretend to be cool. I can be myself, but I'm still, you know, doing what I find funny. And that's the main thing, I think, rather than trying to be someone else.
I love seeing teenagers in the audience. When you do a festival show or a show, I did one in, where was it? Gladstone, just doing stand-up in North Queensland. And someone sent a message, is it okay to bring my teenagers? I'm like, yeah, I'll say fuck about. And she texts me, oh, that was great. Because it's, I'm not really rude, but I do say, I swear occasionally. But it's good to see teenagers in the crowd. Because, I mean, I love comedy. I would have loved to have gone to comedy shows.
That's all I did. Well, you know, when I would come up from Frankston, I'd see shows. And you forget also that, you know, because on one level, I get scared of, like, teenagers, because you feel like I'm going to be out of touch with them now and all the rest of it. But also, they haven't mainly seen comedy before. So even if it's not the best comedy, it's still often going to blow their minds. Because if you're only used to watching sitcoms and stuff, you don't know what it's like to be surrounded by people laughing.
Yeah, yeah. And also teenagers are very, I mean, I've got teenagers now. They're very self-conscious. But if they're in the dark in a theatre or wherever, they can laugh their heads off. And they love it, I reckon. It's different from doing a school thing where you have to go along to a school.
Oh, man.
You've done them, I'm sure. And
yeah,
it's just like, and you can always, you know, this kid's always champing the bit to yell out.
Brutal. Because I did school gigs for like 10 years. I had a show that I brought around to school, you know.
Oh, did you?
Like I, you know, with my business hat on, I wrote something designed for year 12s.
How was that?
You know, well, it got better as my profile increased, because, you know, by the end, by the time I got too busy to do schools, there were enough students who might have seen me, or me and Randy, that they were excited to see me. But at the start, I'm there. You
with
know,
a piano,
I mean, with a piano. I remember that was the most brutal heckle probably ever in one of the early ones. There was just a pause after a song, and someone just went, "Mr. G," and then they all pissed themselves laughing.
Mr. G.
It's like, yeah, fair enough. Like just three syllables, the most brutal takedown and accurate.
Well, that's the thing, teenagers, they can be. Because school, hang on, I'm trying to think. Oh, I know where you went to school. You went to Peninsula Grammar, which is in, for people that don't know, that's in Mornington, Mount Eliza.
Mount Eliza.
It's up above Frankston. I was trying to explain yesterday. Go on.
Oh, no, I was going to say wedge between Frankston and Mornington. So it's the little... It's if you drive from Frankston to Mornington, you're going to pass through Mount Eliza.
Yeah, yeah. And it's absolutely beautiful down there. And I was trying to explain to someone, it's a peninsula. It's the end of Port Phillip Bay, and then Western Port's on the other side. I was trying to explain to Dino, who's the anchor at Nova Melbourne, who's from Perth, that he thinks the peninsula is all posh. And I'm like, nah, mate. You haven't done a gig in Hastings. Like, I've done gigs in Hastings and Tyab and those joints. So it has an incredible, and Frankston, incredible variety of people down there.
Massively. And it's, like, I grew up down there in the sort of, I guess, normal part of, like, borderline Frankston, Mount Eliza.
Were you South Frankston? On the hill? Were you South Frankston on the hill there?
Well, Humphreys Road. Just off Humphreys Road, so technically South Frankston,
right. Wow, yeah. My in-laws used to live there, so I've been...
Yeah, yeah.
That's how Sharon... like... That's how Sharon knew your sister, I think. I don't know.
Yeah, I think so.
Maybe. I was going to say, Peninsula is interesting because it's turned out quite a few comedians. Mick Malloy,
and he was like the one... He was my guiding light at school, because I saw his name on he was on like the Ducks board or something.
Of course.
He was a smart dude, of course. But like... Genuinely, the number of days or weeks or months where I'd look up at that during some class I wasn't enjoying or some sports thing, I would actually get inspired by knowing that he had been through the school.
Yeah, Rosso from American Rosso, Tim Ross.
Rosso, yep.
Sean Dooley. Sean Dooley, the Birdman. He was he used to be a comedian back in the day. And the Matt Tilley,
yep.
Yeah, James Rain went there too.
Just funny. Yeah. So, weird little Weird cluster.
Well, I think with the growing up out there, you've got to make your own fun. And I reckon that's where... It's a long way to the city, actually, particularly back in those days. So you've got to make your own fun with your friends, and that's probably...
That's it. Like, I'm now a city dweller, and my kids are going to grow up somewhere close to the city, I assume. You know, and they won't have what I had, which was those... The weekends were spent just roaming the streets.
Yes.
Like, there was the buses were shitty. There's no real... You know, you go to your mate's place, you just say, okay, I see you in 40 minutes, and you just start walking. And,
yes. We get the train, but the train to the city was an hour, like, for us. An hour away.
No, it's the same with us.
And then the train was dangerous. Dangerous, the train.
And if you fell asleep on the way back to Frankston, then you'd bounce back. Like, you'd wake up and you're going back to the city.
See, I grew up in Mitcham. You'd fall asleep, wake up in Lilydale, and some skinhead would be trying to steal your runners. Like, where am I? I know, I said just in the intro, I live not far from you now. And our kids are never going to move out. It's too good. Why would you move out?
And I'm assuming it's a good thing. I was going to say, like, you sort of romanticize and think, what are they missing out on? All that space and freedom. But, like, actually, probably being able to catch a tram to the city is pretty good freedom as well.
And it's more multicultural. It's just more, interesting probably for them, you'd hope.
Have you got enough room for them all to stay home though forever?
No, I'm in a very big backyard. We've got quite a big backyard. They could easily build a granny flat, I suppose. Oh God, the neighbour's starting up some sort of industrial equipment.
Hello.
Can you hear that? It's like a bandsaw.
Is that essential, you reckon, during lockdown?
I've forgotten. I've got to ask you a question. Sorry, and then we'll wrap it up because I know you've got
to go. No. Yeah, but this is great. This is my social occasion for the weekend.
And also, you get to be interviewed. You spend a lot of time interviewing people.
Yeah.
Hang on.
It's actually quite cathartic.
I think he's got a bandsaw out there. Can you hear that?
Yeah, I can hear it. So can your podcast subscriber.
I think... Hang on, I might just move. Hang on, Sammy. Just stay there.
See, what's great about this is normally I'm interviewing people every morning, and like when they're talking, my brain's just going, "Oh shit, what do I say next? What do I say next?" And now make you do that.
That's right. And I remember doing ABC interviews where I'd interview a lot of different people on the ABC, and sometimes the interviews had to go for 9 minutes because I was doing afternoons, and that's a long time to talk. To commercial radio, it's 3 minutes and you're out. And there's some quite... I remember interviewing a woman who'd put out a book called Things to Do on the School Holidays. And I said, so tell us about Things to Do on the School Holidays. And she goes, it's all in the book. So quite challenging. Quite challenging, some of those interviews you have to do. Okay, I've moved to the front yard now. Okay, Sammy, the question is, what was the last thing you cooked?
Oh, man,
Are you the cook?
Not really. No, actually, I made a moussaka.
Oh, nice.
But, that overstates everything to do with my abilities. Like, that was one of the reasons I didn't want to do the radio job, because I'm not food-based, and I feel like ABC audiences, all they want to do is hear about recipes and gourmet cooking and stuff. And I'm like, I'm a simple man. I have cheese and Vegemite toasty. That's my thing.
I remember doing an OB in Frankston with you, with John Fain on ABC, and I remember saying, I'm just going to go get a sandwich from the service station and go home. I'm like, I never met. And this was years ago when the sandwiches weren't that great at the service station.
Yeah.
I'm like, you buy those sandwiches at the servo? Because
I was the person who kept that element of their business going.
Yes. Because I would never do that because I'm so food orientated. So.
Yeah. No, like, and I love my food, but I really do like it, but to me, it's a thing you do because you have to.
It's a fuel.
I can get back to plinking away on a piano or something.
See, what I did, I went up to Seaford and went to the fish and chip shop, which I'd heard about, and to try that out while I was down there.
Yeah.
I remember doing that while you
guys... How was it?
Oh, it was beautiful. It was very old school, old Greeks. I don't know if they're still running it, but it was beautiful.
Was that the 2010 state election that we were doing John Fain down in Frankston? I feel like it would have been an OB for an election.
It was in like a beachside cafe kind
of. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember it was just me and you with a comic relief kind of.
Yep. And Peter Mitchell was there.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because he's from down that way, the Channel 7 newsreader. Yeah. Yes. He's a nice guy. He's
great guy.
He loved my book, actually. He told me once when I did the Royal Children's Appeal, him and his wife were, good on them.
He went to Peninsula. I'm good friends with his daughter. She was in my year level.
Oh, so, he's got a lot of kids. Got a lot of kids, hasn't he, Peter Mitchell?
Yeah. 17, I think. Yeah.
okay, next question. What have you been last thing you watched or listened to?
Oh, watching War of the Worlds at the moment.
Oh, is that good?
BBC one. It's really good. And that's the on Aliens.
SBS, like, isn't it? That's on SBS. Yeah.
And it's confusing because I was trying to Google it to find out how many episodes there are, and there was like another mini series put out like just a year or two ago as well. So it's, but this is like, I think it's like eight parts. But the aliens are like robots, so it's really great. It's not like your typical alien. They're like a bit mechanical, but they've still got like fleshy insides and shit. But
I've got to watch that.
It's really sweet.
And it's
really
Gabriel Burns in it, isn't he? Gabriel Byrne. Yeah. Great.
Hang on. Yeah.
Yeah. Great. The old guy. The old Irish actor. Yeah. I think he's in it. Okay. Thank God I'm not on the ABC. There'd be text messages now.
Yeah, I know. Like, I'm genuinely nervous now that you're referring to the other one I said that isn't the one I'm referring to.
But oh, work it out. We'll work it out. Don't worry. You're a fucking idiot. What would you know? You know the thing about the ABC text messaging service? I don't know if you ever clicked on the people that have been banned. There's a page that people have been blocked. That's even more abusive. The message
we just got an email around to staff about all the lists. They're going to start blocking. They got the technology now to block automatically any text that contains a certain word, and so it's like three pages worth of the most offensive words you've ever seen.
Fair enough,
but at least it's fair enough, we'll make it through
Nazis, etc. Because when I looked at the ban page, I was like, oh my god, this is very disturbing.
One of the words that's gonna be banned is cockwomble, which I think is a bit of a shame, because I think that has to be a humorous text. Like I'd enjoy getting a message calling me a cockwomble.
Love the Wombles.
Yeah.
What if Cock Paddington's in there as well? okay, last question. This will be easy for you, because what was the last bit of human contact you had?
Oh, yeah. You've got my eight-year-old about 27 minutes ago.
Yeah. Fair enough. For single also, people, it's more a bit more interesting.
Yeah. What do you get? Some spicy responses?
No, more just like the people in the woman in the deli. What did Durek say? I think, oh god, he said, I remember what he said, but I remember Kitty Flanagan said the woman in the deli. So
What did Randy say, I wonder?
Oh no, I interviewed Randy when I was actually in the car with him. So
that's right.
Yeah.
We were gonna have this chat in the car after you did my school fundraiser for me, which I'm very grateful for. But I was exhausted.
Yeah, I organise a school fundraiser, and as I said, don't pay me, Sammy. Just come and do my school fundraiser.
Yeah.
But hey, COVID, it's all been cancelled.
Yeah, right? No, you should send me an invoice now.
Oh, no, it'll be on next year, Sammy. Don't worry about that. And they would love you, because it's very ABC. It's ABC. I remember when Mick Malloy did it, and he said to me, are they very politically correct around here? In my mind, I'm thinking, oh, fuck yeah. And I go, nah, mate. And then he knew one of the mums there, and she's like, oh, Mick, they're very politically correct here. And he's like, oh, fucking hell.
They would have loved him anyway.
They loved him. I said, they're not that bad. You know, there's a lot of lawyers and doctors, and as I pointed out at your kid's fundraiser, and these are all state schools, by the way, we're talking about here. It's not Geelong Grammar or anything. They're just a local state school, but I said, I just picked on all the architects that were at your gig, because there's quite a few architects.
Like the whole front row,
Yeah. Come on, don't. Where's the architects? Anyway, well, Sammy, great to chat to you.
Hey, man, genuine pleasure.
It's great.
You know, I don't normally, like, radio's been part of me actually being myself normally. I never normally do podcasts because it terrifies me, but I how could I say no to Dave O'Neill?
Oh, yeah, and there's no hard questions in here, none at all. it's not tough at all.
You're buttering me up, and then your next one will be the expose.
Yeah, exactly. keep an eye for Sammy's on ABC Thursday nights. And is it like 7? Is it still 7:58?
Yeah, just before the news. 6:55.
6:55.
Yep.
And if you're in Melbourne, he's on ABC Radio. Sammy J, thanks, Sammy J.
Dude, thanks so much, Dave. Cheers, man.